Today on Real Radio.
Second half of verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Do you see the connection? Without prayer, your faith is going to fold. Without faith, your prayer is going to fold.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of Luke. We're actually in a mini-series on prayer. It's taken from the first 8 verses of Luke chapter 18. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing in this series within a series called Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It.
He never forgets you. He never stops thinking the best for you. The Bible says, if I were to collect all his thoughts toward me, and they are good, Jeremiah 29:11 says, they would be too many to number. Go find that somewhere else, but God alone. And then verse 7 says, though he bears long with them. You say, Jack, I read that verse ahead. I read that last time we were together, and I have a... That verse tells me that he's just going to hold off and just he's going to bear for a long time before he answers me. That's not what it means. Are you ready for this? It's perfect. It's awesome. It goes perfect. Of course it goes perfectly in line with the study because it's biblical and this is what he's meaning here. He's saying that I want to answer you speedily, but here's the problem. God is saying, I got the answers. Imagine him being a carpenter, which he is. And he's got his tool belt on. You know, is that the commercial where the guy's selling cell phone channel and there's a helicopter behind him and an army of people? Okay, think of Jesus standing like this. And he's got an army of angels and resources behind him. And he's saying, I want to answer you speedily. Yeah, okay. And I'm bearing up long with you. You know what it means? Will you please ask me? He's got an army to answer us. And he's bearing up, he's waiting, and we're going, it's so terrible, life's so hard, I don't know what to do, I'm panicking, I'm freaking out, oh my gosh, all this trouble, my child, this and that. And Jesus is saying, all right now, anytime now, come on, you can do it, just ask. Hey church, you know the answer to this, we have not because we ask not. He's saying, come on and ask. Remember that old song, we said it last time, we'll say it again. That, oh, what needless, how's it go? Oh, what needless things we bear because we fail to take it to God in prayer. He wants us to cry out to him. And I don't know what the deal is with this. We'd rather pick up the phone and call somebody who can't do anything about it. But say, you know what, that really stinks. I'll pray for you. Psalm 3, verse 4 says, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me. Wow. King David knew something about troubles. Many of our youth today, as I mentioned last time, many of our youth today are in crisis. I tell you what, I had a birthday while I was away. I'm an old guy now. I love it. And there's things hurting I actually didn't know I had in my body. But listen, if you were to say, wouldn't you like to live your life over again? Oh, no. Are you kidding me? In fact, I'm saying, let's hurry it up, Lord. Amen. Huh? Let's get this thing over with. Either come back or let me blink and I'll be, 99 or whatever my number is. Let's go. But I think about these young people. And maybe today you're sitting here saying, yeah, you know what, Jack? I'm up there in years. I don't really care what goes on. But wait a minute. Does your neighbors have kids? Do you have grandkids? You better care what's going on. You may have made it through this stuff and all that kind of stuff, but you know what? There's still people living and breathing around you. We got to stand for what's right. We got to take care of what's going on. It's a very important thing. Our youth are in a crisis. These are dangerous days. I would not want to live these days over again. I'm happy to be computer dumb. I hire people to, hey, how do I turn it on? These are dangerous days. And here's the tragedy. Children today, young people today, teenagers, they need to hear God like never before, but they can't hear him. They haven't been taught. They haven't been trained how to hear God. You know why? Listen, they're never told to sit alone and sit quiet and be still. Just wait. Can you imagine taking a young person today and say, just sit 30 minutes without any phone, any radio, iPod, MP3, nothing. They would think, you know what? They would just, why don't you just kill me then? They would think they're good. Why don't you just, you can't do this. I'm going to sue you. And then the earphones, you know, the earphones in the head. I think they are now physically attached. The skin has grown over the wires. How can they hear God? They need God more than ever. Our young people need God more than ever, and they don't know how to hear him. And they think silence is a sin. God wants to speak. Three things I want to give you. It's very simple, but it's the way it is. What does God's voice sound like? I'm glad you asked. That's a great question to ask. What does God's voice sound like? Are you ready for this? His voice will be unusually familiar to you when he speaks to you. So what does that mean? He will sound like you when he speaks. And you will say, that's not an answer. That's a cheap Christian answer. Just wait, I'm not done. He will sound like you in your head, the tone of your voice. He will sound like you because you're the only one you'll listen to. But here's the cool part. When he says in your voice what he is saying, you will know it because you have never said such a thing like that in your mind, nor has it ever uttered out of your mouth such a thing. And you will know. What was that? That was awesome. That was pretty profound, heavy. Wow. God speaks to us like that. Unless, look, there are, I guess you could hear God audibly. I've never heard God audibly. I never heard, Jack, this is the Lord, turn left. I mean, I've never heard that. Maybe you have. I have not heard that, but that's awesome. But I've never heard that. I just know in my head, I will hear something, and it's not me. And that's cool because you know what? You can go do that thing or say that thing or stand on that thing with total confidence. It's amazing. The Bible says, listen, very quickly, 1 Kings 19, verses 11 to 13, it says Elijah went out. Listen, this is like us. It's awesome. Elijah went out and stood on the mountain before the Lord. Doesn't that sound awesome? You're saying, I want that to happen to me. I want that to happen. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. And you're going, yeah, baby, now we're talking. That's how I want God to talk to me. Keep reading. But the Lord was not in the wind. Isn't that great? And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came, listen to this. A still small voice spoke. And so it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice came to him and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that? Because don't you expect God to break open the mountain when he speaks, and then speak like, Jack, thou my servant, what hast thou done? I shall call thee to the ends of the earth, my son. He doesn't do that. All this stuff, and look at that, and this, and the other, and then a still small voice, and it says, what are you doing? Isn't that just like God? He speaks to us so we can understand him. It's so natural, supernatural, natural. And then also this, how will we know if it's him speaking? Frankly, it's profoundly simple. John 14:25, these things Jesus said, I've spoken unto you while yet being present, but the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have spoken unto you. Answer, read your Bible and then listen to God speak. More Bible, you'll recognize his voice more. Not so much Bible, you're going to be a little bit confused. Don't read the Bible hardly at all, then you're going to be a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways, and you won't know which way's up or down, and it'll be a mess. Too many people live like that. You don't have to. And then what will be the proof? What will be the proof that it was God speaking? Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. I love that. God says, listen, when I send out an email, I get an answer back. A Gmail. And he says, it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in that thing which I have sent it. What God has said, his answer from the Bible, it will come to pass, and you can watch it happen. God's amazing. Secondly, your God is waiting to protect you, so watch for his deliverance. Jesus said in verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. The word speedily today, we would use this collection of three words, in short order. You've ever heard that? Take care of that? Okay, I'll take care of it in short order. Going to be done now. Quickest thing possible. God is saying, I'll tell you what, I will avenge them in short order. That word is, I'm going to come to their defense. I'm going to answer them. And I'm going to do it very quickly. Now, we need to be very careful because as Christians, if we think God's not answering us, then we need to open up our eyes to reevaluate the situation because he has answered. In Matthew 6:8, Jesus says, your Father knows these things that you have need of before you ask. You see how he wants us to come boldly and pray? You know, you and I live in a very limited plane because we want to see stuff. We live in a three-dimensional world. At least now our science, our technology is getting closer. It's not there, but our technology in the world is getting closer to biblical truth. It's starting to flirt around with fourth dimensional and other dimensional concepts. Immanuel Velikovsky, I don't endorse everything the guy wrote. He's dead and gone now. He's a scientist. Immanuel Velikovsky wrote a book, Worlds in Collision. Immanuel Velikovsky said he's not a believer. He said, listen, it is theoretically possible that if we just alter molecular structure ever so slightly, we could have a train going through the living room of your house at the same time, and neither one would be aware of each other's existence. Science knows that. Well, you and I know that as Christians. The Bible says that when the Word of God goes out, as it is right now, and you've come together in an assembly to worship God, the Bible says angels peer, P-E-E-R, peer into the things that are being said and done in the service. Isn't that awesome? They lean in to learn and to listen from us, little dirt balls, pieces of dirt from earth. Amazing. A world in collision, as it were. God is listening. And he says, I'm going to answer you quickly. And when you and I pray, just because you can't see it, don't think it's not coming. God is above it all. And he knows just the right moment to deliver just the right answer. The challenge for us is, will we receive it? Real practical way of looking at that is 1 Samuel 17:37. You know the story. David's a young guy, and he went to go see how his brothers are doing at war. By the way, not much has changed. David was going to go see how the Israelis were doing against the Philistines that were headquartered in Gaza. Sound familiar? And they had a big guy with them, uncircumcised guy, big, gnarly dude. They found literal archaeological discoveries of bedposts and armor, their beds. The beds of these guys were 14 feet long. And their armor, the breastplate, you can put two men inside one breastplate, 135-pound spears. How do you throw a 135-pound spear? Easy if you're 9 feet 6 inches tall. And David, Goliath standing there drooling. He's gnarly. He's an unshaved guy. He's snot running down his nose. He's got boogers on his face. Got a little falafel hanging here, shawarma on the other side. Hummus all over his face for camouflage reasons. And he says, oh, you know what? Your God's a joke. Your God's a joke. And David said, hey, who's going to take care of this guy? This is ridiculous. And Israel's all like, shh, don't upset him. Don't upset him. Don't say anything. Because if we just be nice to him, maybe our enemy will just think nice of us and go away and won't terrorize us anymore. And David says, no, that's it. Give me something. I'm going after this guy. And little David goes out there and says, hey, you know what? And he actually walks in a prayer, which is how you and I had to walk today. Listen. David said, moreover, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion when I was a little kid, you know, taking care of sheep, and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And we all love the story, but I'm wondering what we would have done if we were there. I want to believe, and I know it's not true, but I want to believe that if there was no David, there would have been a Jack. Israel, fear not. Saul, sit down. Jack is back. And I would have gone out there and probably ran right over the mountains of Elah and headed to the airport and got out of there. David walked in prayer. As a church, we're supposed to walk in that prayer and that hope of God answering. Revelation 3:10 says, because you have kept my command to persevere, God is saying, listen, Christian, don't quit. Don't stop going to church. Fellowship with other believers. Keep praying. Don't give up. I also will deliver you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the entire world to test all those who dwell on the earth. That is a verse that promises God will remove you via the rapture if we live at that time, out of here before the tribulation period. Proof text positive. But are you looking for it? And then finally, we end with this. Your God is wanting to protect you, so place your faith in him alone. Jesus said, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, I love that. Jesus said, I'm coming back. I didn't say it. He said it. That's the cool part. It's so great being a Christian. People get all upset. Oh, man, you guys believe Jesus is coming back, you weirdos. Yeah, go ahead. Call me a weirdo. And you can call me a weirdo after I'm gone, too. But Jesus said, he's coming back. If you want to call him a weirdo, call him a weirdo, but I wouldn't do that. He's coming back. And he said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Will anybody be believing? Now, this ends in a very fascinating way. We all look at verse 1 again. Go ahead, look down. Then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. Skip ahead to the second half of verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Do you see the connection? Without prayer, your faith is going to fold. Without faith, your prayer is going to fold. You and I do not need great faith. You and I do not need to pray long. We just need to be people who pray and have him as our object of faith. That's what makes us successful in the spirit life. It's not my great faith. It's that I have faith in the great one. It's a big difference. So listen, we need to place our faith in him alone. And so Jesus is warning that when he returns, will anybody be believing? All of us have friends who have given up and turned in their faith. Have you not seen people, especially at trying times like this, give up on God? Did you know God's not panicking over this? It's very sad for us. But did you know if somebody knocks on your door today and says, listen, I give up on Christianity, I'm leaving. It's been really tough, lost my job or this or that, and I don't like the way things are going, I quit. You know what? Pray for them, weep for them. But you know what? The Bible said these days were coming. Listen, I just pray as I was on my knees before this service started, that every one of you who are his sheep, see, I don't have to worry about that either. All of you who are truly his would continue and abide and stay strong and persevere in these days. In a church this size, there's going to be people who are going to say, it's all a joke. I understand that. I weep for you. But listen, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And what? They follow me. So these days are difficult. I understand that. They're going to get harder. I mean, I know the news isn't going to tell you this. It's going to get worse. You guys, all the mathematical models, forget what commentators are saying. Just look at the mathematical models. It's going to get worse. You guys, this is not our home. Remember a couple years ago, I was encouraging you to get signed up in a home fellowship group just for times like these. I've been telling you, don't stop coming together as the assembly together. You say, I don't need to go to church to be saved. Of course you don't. That's not why I'm inviting you to come. Or if you're visiting from a church, make sure you get back to that church and get into that church. Because listen, we're going to need each other. These are tough days, but here's the cool thing. The Lord is always listening and waiting. He wants to answer us. And so I'll leave you with this. God is so good, this should build our faith to prompt us to prayer. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4 that these days that we're living in, there would come perilous times. Okay? They're starting to happen. And what we can do today is say, Lord, I'm going to go to you in prayer. I'm going to seek your face. I want to know, Lord, you more and more.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Don't Just Stand There, Pray About It. It's a look at a section in Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 18. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament account, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we also want to let you in on what Pastor Jack and the church family are studying currently, 1 Corinthians. Now, to say that a study in 1 Corinthians is relevant is an understatement, especially if you know the issues that Paul had to deal with there. In fact, Pastor Jack would like to tell us more about this series that's now available on DVD. Pastor Jack?
Well, thanks, Mike. And what we're talking about here at church currently is 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we've just come through this study. And in fact, the three-part series is entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. And by now, I've got everyone's attention when I put those words together. Saints, that's the believers. And the Bible talks about those who are at Corinth were believers. And then sex, Paul addresses in chapter 5 what was going on. There was sexual immorality among the believers. And then sinners, this is quite interesting. The sinners, the non-believers in the community of Corinth, began to rebuke the church for its ungodly conduct. That's a pretty sad day when the world has to correct the church. Well, we took this three-part series and looked closely into some of the ailments of the church and the current church today. And that is that in many churches and in ministries, there is sexual immorality. How to deal with it? What does the Bible say about it? How does the leadership exercise church discipline among its members that are practicing willfully sexual immorality? The Bible is very specific about this. And so this is a hard-hitting, direct, and yet I would say loving presentation, series of teachings that bring to light a topic, frankly, that people would either not want to bring up or not want to deal with. But we take it on, and it has generated a tremendous conversation here at church. Many copies of this little mini-series has gone out, and we thought that it would be great if the family at Real Radio would also be able to benefit from it. So it's been powerful, and I encourage you, as part of our radio church together, that you might get your own copy and study this for your own learning, admonition in the Word of God. So you can find out more information. In fact, Mike, you can let the people know how they can obtain their own copy.
Of course. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.